Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ubi Est Mia. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Meredith Ketchel. Meredith is a fantastic stand-up comic and illustrator and designer and author in Chicago, Illinois. This podcast tends to be with people that used to live in Chicago. I wanted to talk with Meredith because she plans to never leave Chicago, so I wanted to find out what that is all about. Without further ado, here's Meredith Ketchel.
It's funny because, like, my boyfriend, he's from the South, so, like, he fucking hates the winter here, which is understandable, but, you know, we discuss lightly the idea of moving, which every time, like, I just start to, like, well up and, like, get very emotional, just like, I don't know what I am, I don't know if I can, like, I don't know if I can be that far away from the bean, you know. but, I mean, we've discussed, like, New Orleans.
Maybe. Have you been to New Orleans?
I have not. I heard it's very dirty.
It's sort of dirty, but it's not really that much dirtier than Chicago.
Okay, well, that I can deal with. We just went to Memphis. I was not very impressed.
No, Memphis is cool. I said cool weird, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's fine. It just looks like a little dilapidated college town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting, like, old Southern charm. Like,
have you been to Nashville?
No.
You might like Nashville's a little cleaner.
I get invited to a lot of bachelorette weekends there. I'm always just like, oh, that sounds so fun, but I can't make it. Because they're always
horrible.
Like, yeah, the invitations are always on like a boot, like shaped card.
Oh, I get it.
It's all girls that I grew up with, though, which I don't really understand the appeal of like country living to somebody who grew up outside of Chicago.
We grew up in Plainfield, that's correct.
Yeah, I grew up in Plainfield.
So Plainfield to me just sounds exactly what the word is.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah, it's a big plain field, and then they built subdivisions on it, and that's it.
Nashville and Memphis are not like that.
No, not at all. No, and, like, the thing is I like traveling. Like, I went to New York last year, and that was fun. I went to Portland this year to visit my friend. That was neat. But it's still every time I'm just like, fuck, I can't wait to be home.
But
like,
why is there a need there? Why do you want to be back home so bad? Why can't you just go make a new home somewhere? And I'm saying that like it's so easy to do, but
yeah, it's not. There's something just like very, it's like crawling into bed at the end of the night. You don't want to sleep on somebody else's couch. You want to sleep in your own bed and have your own comforts and your own creature things. Like, know where the grocery store is and what time it closes and know how to like escape. Like,
how often do you think of escaping?
Of escaping, like when I'm someplace else or when I'm here?
You tell me.
When I am someplace else, it's probably every couple of hours, I think about going home and just like how nice it would be to be going home right now.
So it's less of a thing of like a terrorist threat. It's more of a like, oh, I just don't want to be here.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. What I've realized is that like, every other major city, like, it's pretty much the same across the board. Like, you're always going to have, like, one cool sushi place and a super cool coffee shop. And, like, I can find that everywhere. But what I have now is that I know where everything is and I'm comfortable with all of it.
So if you just had a better iPhone situation with a not-scratch screen and a completely updated Google Maps, you'd be fine no matter where.
Exactly.
But you do have that.
I do have that. But, okay, so then you have, like, I really like just being close and near to people that I know. And that really, like, if it's only, like, a couple people in a city and I've got to, like, travel and they don't know each other and, like, that's obnoxious.
You work in two different worlds that make you meet other people. You don't work in an office job. You're a graphic designer. You're an artist. You're an illustrator. Mm-hmm. That makes you meet new clients all the time. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And then you also do stand-up, and if you're actually a stand-up, you have to go on stage. That's sort of the definition. And inevitably, you meet new people, both fellow performers and audience members, that might enjoy who you are.
Yeah.
So you have two of the easiest jobs to meet new people.
That is, yeah, absolutely.
That's so why will you never leave Chicago?
I don't know. Like, it's so many things. Like, I've been here forever. I feel like it's ingrained in my personality. Like, I am a Chicagoan. I, you know, it's fine. I eat fucking ketchup on my hot dogs. I'm not that type of asshole. But, like, it would feel sort of like I was a phony if I moved someplace else.
You'd feel like a phony if you just didn't live within a certain radius of the Sears Tower.
Yeah, Specifically, I love the Willis Tower. Try to get there every week. I think Chicago gets this weird rap. Like, if you ask like a lifelong New Yorker, just like, why don't you leave New York? They're like, because I love New York. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, you can't. Chicago doesn't have that thing, but it does have that thing for me where I'm just like, but I would feel, because I don't need to go to another city to, like, better myself. I'm not living to be a stand-up, so I don't have to go to New York or L.A. I don't want to be on TV. Like, it's just something really fun for me to do, and it's, like, a community that I love. And I can get clients literally anywhere online, so why would I pack up and pay rent that's higher in a neighborhood I might not like or know?
So what neighborhood are you in?
I'm in Avondale.
I've never heard anyone, like, love Avondale that much.
I mean, I'm just over the corner of Logan Square. I'm, like, right at Diversity and Kedzie. So
you say Avondale just so you're not one of those people that say Logan Square.
Yeah, I'm on the tipping end of a new gentrification, and I'm so proud to be that.
But if I'm looking at your apartment on Craigslist, you're definitely, like, Northwest Logan Square.
No, I'm South Avondale. That was how it was marketed when I found it.
Really? Things have changed.
I know. Well, I think they were looking for, like, more laid back, older people. I think that was the marketing attempt. And that's exactly what my upstairs neighbors are. And it's exactly what we are.
Since you said older, may we talk about your age? Is that okay?
Oh yeah. I'm 30.
Okay. I feel like if my now wife didn't move to DC, I would have been in your position 3 years. I would have been in your position 3 years ago. I'm 33 and I never thought I was going to leave that city.
Right?
Yeah.
But
I'm kind of glad I did.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Like, that's, I mean, everyone I know that's moved is, like, super happy, and, like, they have all these new experiences, and they learn something new, and, like, meet so many different types of people, and that's awesome, but, like, oh, it's just so daunting.
Well, I moved to a place that I didn't really want to go to. That's the difference.
Yeah, so, okay, like, explain.
You're making a face like you don't understand how that works.
I don't understand why you would enjoy it if it was a place that you didn't want to move.
Well, because I didn't know I wanted to be here. And I still don't necessarily want to be here. I just want to be where she is.
Right.
And I feel like I can make that work in any city. And city is the key word in that sentence.
Oh, yeah, no. Can you imagine moving to, like, Joliet?
No. No. So, did you ever think about living in Plainfield?
Like, after I moved?
Yeah.
Oh my god, no. It's no.
It's not that far.
No, it's not that far. And, like, I have girlfriends that I went to high school with that after college, they moved back. And, like, they're, like, teachers and nurses out there. I had girls that moved to the city and then moved back to Plainfield. They were just like, it's just too much. But they never went west of the highway. Like, they had no idea what they were missing. They were just reliving college in Wrigleyville. And it's just like, okay, yeah, I guess I would move back to Plainfield too if that's what I was doing.
You went to school at the Art Institute.
Yes, I did.
I think the Art Institute is probably the one school in Chicago that has the most whatever real Chicago experience there is. Because, like, yes, you have a downtown campus, but everyone I knew that went to the Art Institute did not spend 4 years living downtown in dorms.
No, yeah, that's true.
It sort of made everyone branch out, and it's not like a small campus, like, segregated in Hyde Park, nor is it in Rogers Park where it's super far out.
Yeah. No, it's right there. It is the middle of downtown. So I lived in Pilsen for most of it. And then I've lived in Wrigleyville first and then Pilsen. I know. I did the official white girl move, like, when I was 19. I was like, oh, Linkin Park sounds really good. It's too expensive. Wrigleyville it is. Horrible. Horrible.
I thought you were going to go with, I did the typical white person college thing and go, I'm not spending any more money. I'm going to go gentrify Pilsen.
And then, yep, that is exactly what we did. Well, I didn't want to live in Pilsen. My roommate at the time was just like, it's going to be a super fast commute, and I'm in the fashion department. I need to be there literally constantly. And I was like, fine. We were a block from the Pink Line, and we paid like $300 a month, $250 a month, something like that. And it was just like, yeah, why wouldn't we live here for 3 years? Probably all the gunshots. And the neighbor next door, who's constantly yelling at us to buy more crack, was just like, ugh.
When that assumes that you had already bought some crack.
I believe a house guest bought some sort of drug from him. And then he assumed for the next 3 years that that was us.
It's easier to maintain a customer than to find a new customer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cruz.
That's just good, Cruz. Solid business.
He was very mean.
Are you glad you went to the Art Institute?
Yes and no. Like...
Is no just because of the bill?
The bill is actually, yeah, it was pretty bad. no, it wasn't because of the bill. It was because like I felt like I didn't really fit in there because I am kind of like bubbly and happy and like, hey, what's up, guys? Here's a funny little illustration. And then just like, I cracked an egg inside of my butt and then I did a performance. And you're just like, man, I'm not going to make friends here. I think I have like 3 friends from college and I'm a pretty friendly person. I'm easy to get along with. So, and like, it was a lot of like conceptual art and I just kind of wanted to do traditional illustrations when I was in school.
Do you think it's gotten better?
What do you mean? Like the school or making friends?
Making friends in an art department at 19, because you were 19 when you went to college, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you were 19 when you went to college. I feel like this is definitely pre-Facebook, maybe pre-MySpace?
It was the beginning of Facebook. MySpace had been around for like 2 or 3 years.
Okay, that's our big age gap right there.
Yeah,
I feel like now it's a lot easier to just like find those 10 to 20 people that you would have enjoyed that you just didn't know 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like, I remember, yeah, Facebook was new and you had to have the college email to like get it. So I remember getting that college email and being so excited and then not knowing how to navigate Facebook. But there was like a group for the incoming freshmen and it was like meetup things and stuff like that. And they just never happened. Like, you would go, and there would be no one there, and you'd be like, okay, cool. Boy.
But you didn't live in the dorms at all.
I lived in the dorms my first year.
Which one?
The one at State and Lake.
I want to talk to you so many things about that place when we're not recording.
It was a bizarre little circus of, like, needy weirdos. Yeah. Because, of course, it was. I mean, I remember there was this amazing, just to describe him, he was like this like lanky, beautiful black man, and he was always wearing women's clothing, but like not in like a cross-dresser drag queen way, but just in like this like, yeah, you're from a different era and you were a woman. And and he always had parties every day, and every day his dorm room was like directly above me, and you'd hear just like screams and then like nothing. And then, you know, and then one day he took the screens out of his windows, and he was on the 13th floor and he had a 40, and he put his elbow back and he knocked it out the window and just cracked some girl walking into the dorm, just like right on the head. And she was not the same after that.
For the listener at home that doesn't know exactly where this is, everyone in the world probably that has heard of Chicago has heard of the Chicago Theater. This is across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And right below the dorms, there used to be a giant Borders.
Giant Borders. And that was there when I moved in.
Yes. And also, that's where the entrance is next door is to the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Gene Siskel Film Center. And then around the corner is the Oriental Theater.
And then catty corner is Macy's?
No, that was one block down.
One block down. Okay, I apologize. One block down
with Marshall Fields.
So you're living downtown Chicago.
Just populated streets constantly until 9 p.m. Everyone leaves, just the homeless guys.
And then the people that want to watch the nightly news that records next to the Gene Siskel Film Center.
How many people just stood outside of that thing and watched the news?
Yes.
It's not Good Morning America. You couldn't really hear what they were saying.
No. Were you there when a car drove into the studio?
No, but I heard about that. Oh, I was so sad that I missed it, to be honest.
Okay, so you did the, like, I think somewhat mandatory live in the dorms first year thing.
It was mandatory.
You go to Wrigleyville, classic 19-20-year-old woman in Wrigleyville.
Yep. Ooh, we hit North Center for, like, a year, and that was okay. I feel
like I'm talking to my girlfriend right now. This is almost the exact same path in terms of dorms. I would say myself, but I was a complete leech under her, so I just moved where she moved. And then you did Pilsen.
And then I did Pilsen.
And now you're in Avondale.
Well, I did Roscoe Village for 2 years.
Of course you did. That's right. I apologize.
I was that person that lived on the, like, one house on the block that hadn't been knocked down yet. And it was just, like the landlords lived in New York and, like, didn't know who lived there. So, like, all the money went through me, and it was just, like, a rotating cast of, like, disgusting male comedians. And, yeah.
This is a good point. This is a good time to bring up the stand-up. How did that start? Because you didn't go to school, and you still don't even want to be a full-time stand-up.
Wow, who would want to be a full-time stand-up?
I don't know, most people that do it.
Oh, God, I don't, like, here's my issue with stand-up, and then I'll get into, like, why I started. My issue with stand-up is that a lot of the times I walk into rooms like the Laugh Factory or, like, you know, the Chuckle Barn and fucking...
Whoa, stop. Is that a real place?
No.
Okay.
But I believe there is a Chuckle Hut somewhere in Indiana.
Okay.
I'm like 80% certain. Or that could just be the Putterboss sisters, like, ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, I think that's what that is.
So, like, I walk into those places and I look at the audience, and it's always like, if I passed them on the street, I would be like, I don't want to get to know you and I don't want to impress you. Like, I'm already better than you. I'm a more open-minded, well-rounded, like, good person, and you're a jerk living in Champaign.
Okay, I have to take offense with that because, number one, some people that live in Champaign aren't jerks.
A lot of people that live in Champaign aren't jerks.
And number two, why do you stand up at all then? Like, period. Because you don't get to pick the crowd, really.
Pick the crowd. And that's another important reason that I love Chicago and I love the shows that I do. So I produce Chicago Underground Comedy, which is a space for alternative comedy and people doing kind of wackier, weirder stuff and audiences that expect that. And it's sort of like pushing stand-up performance a little bit farther. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in, like, doing some fucking road jokes about, like, oh, aren't blowjobs crazy? Like, I don't, it's not fun. It's not, like, engaging for me. So I could take it or leave it, you know? If you pay me, sure. But they're not going to like me.
So when did you actually get into stand-up?
I got into stand-up, due to a bet, between me and my best friend. It was about to be 2011, and it was New Year's, and I was like, all right, this is the year, pussy. Like, if you don't do it, I won't do it, but I'm going to do it. And he did it first, and he did it at the Edge Comedy Club. That was at, like, Chicago and Halstead? It was a room.
Oh, okay.
By Dave Odd.
How does this guy keep coming up on the show? Every single stand-up has had a formative experience at a place where no one has ever gone by choice.
No one. Well, because it was, like, one of the only open mics.
Oh, God.
So that's when Coles was just starting and just becoming, like, a big thing.
Okay.
And so one of the three friends that I made in college was Mateo Lane.
That is very helpful.
Yeah. So, well, he started, like, 2 months before me and loved it and was, like, very big in the gay scene, obviously. But, like, that was the comfort zone. He didn't leave Boys Town.
Really quick, for the listener at home, Mateo Lane is a man you might see occasionally on Comedy Central, MTV, along with fellow former Chicagoan Lisa Traeger. Mm-hmm. Lisa is the woman. Mateo is the man with an operatic voice that speaks and sings Italian, but mostly Mariah Carey.
And I will say he has been doing that since the day I met him when I was 19.
Yeah.
And, like, he was so fun, and he, it was, like, his third show is... And he was like, we need someone to open. I'm opening up for Cameron Esposito. Would you mind doing it? And I drank like 3 or 4 Long Island iced teas because, of course, a 25-year-old would do that. And then invited all my friends, basically blacked out, for 12 minutes. I was supposed to do 5. And afterwards, Cameron came up and was like, that was great. You got to come to my open mic. And it was all downhill from that, basically.
So you peaked at your first time, ripped blackout drunk.
Yeah, I peaked. For sure. No, I mean, I've gotten better, but it's like, I didn't take the path that, like, Mateo did. But by the way, like, his name's Matt. But, or, like, I met him as Matt.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's always really, like, it still feels strange coming out of my mouth when I have to say Mateo.
That's great.
But everyone else knows him like that. And, like, he was just, like, made for it, you know? And for me, it was, like, very, not to be cliche, but, like, mildly therapeutic. I got that, like, part of me that needs to perform out of the way, and then I could, like, focus on my job stuff.
Did it make the job stuff more fulfilling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it still make it more fulfilling?
Yeah, because I get to incorporate a sense of humor into everything now. And I felt like I was very afraid to do that before. Like, I still felt that, like, SAIC, like, rigid. Yeah.
Is your current boyfriend a stand-up?
He is.
Is that good or bad?
You know what? It's fantastic because he has the same attitude that I do. He'd rather be a writer for things. Like, I would rather be a writer for things than a performer of things. And it helps that I also think he's, like, enormously funny. And I've dated comedians who were not. And that is...
We'll talk about that not recording.
Yeah, we'll talk about that not recording.
What's interesting about couples that are both stand-ups is what I want to know is, do you ever come to the same joke at the same time in the course of a conversation and then claim it?
No.
Okay.
No. So, I mean, he does more of like a character act on stage. So he's kind of like this weird version of himself that has a lot of like Bible facts and stuff like that. It's great. And then I'm more autobiographical, but I'm branching out and doing more, you know, like art stuff on stage. So no, we never really do. We do come to the same joke at the same time, but that's just to make each other giggle.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The reason why I wanted to do this specific episode with you is because I heard you on Marty DeRosa's podcast, Wrestling with Depression, and mm-hmm. it's a very good episode.
Well, thank you.
And it's also one of those episodes where I wonder if the subject feels weird because now so many more people know so many intimate details about their lives that you probably would have never come up. And I know that you do talk about a lot of this stuff on stage, but there's mm-hmm. a big separation between seeing somebody for 10 minutes in a feature spot versus 60 minutes and there's no intentional jokes.
Right. It never really bothered me. I mean, like, there's stuff. I think that, like, some people don't believe that somebody like who is very outwardly like, you know, happy and joyous and like easy to get along with has any sort of like issues with anxiety, depression, eating disorders, a storied past, you know, like I don't look like anything's hurt me. Maybe the sun right now, you can kind of see I'm a little burned, but like
Jesus, you do burn, don't you? You just touched your skin and it like went from red to what? Oh my God.
It's really bad.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, my co-producer made me go running, and I'm never running again. So, no, but I like that, though, because that's more storytelling. It's more interesting to me than, like, observations, setups, and punchlines. It's, like, I mean, I've listened to that podcast for years and, like, was super honored that he had me on it. And so I was, like, kind of prepared to talk about weird stuff, and I liked it.
Yeah. When you see other performers, it's not so much in Chicago, but definitely where I am. When you see other performers and there's nothing honest about them, does it bother you, or do you just focus on your own stuff?
It does bother me. Does it bother you?
Absolutely. I mean, the first time we actually talked, I think, was on my show.
Yeah.
Because I had seen a lot of your clips and I had just known you through people and a lot of people recommended you. And I could instantly tell, like, oh, this is a person I like. And
yeah, same with you.
Oh, that's good. I'd say more than half the time it's instantly like, this is not a person I'm ever going to enjoy their comedy. And they're probably a very nice person. And mm-hmm. if we're in the same place, I will definitely say hello. But we're not going to bond on any level as where we're at right now in life.
Yeah, so I think there's like groups of like fuckboys in Chicago. But like I've come up with them. Like if we're at parties, we're getting along, we're trading beers, like great. But the second they go on stage, I am going outside for a cigarette. I don't care. Like I genuinely don't care because like it's things that they've seen before that they're trying to emulate. They're trying to be a Jeselnik or like a Louis, and they're just like, they don't have the pathos for it. And like,
But you're not trying to, nor am I. I'm not trying to do stand up for a career. You're not trying to do stand up for a career. So like, why let it bother you? Let them do the thing because it's not even a thing you want. And also, there's always enough room.
yeah, there's absolutely all of that. And I, as a logical human being, of course I have that. And it's like that live and let live crap that, you know, I swear by. But there's also that mean little art school girl that lives. She is in a critique all the time. You know, she's been there for 8 hours and she's just getting fucking riled up. She already had 2 5-hour energies and a coffee and like it's just ready to bite your throat out. Because like you should be, I just think everyone should be striving to be their most authentic self. And if you got into stand-up because you thought you were funny or somebody told you that, it was because you weren't going on stage and telling fucking, I don't know, like Tinder jokes.
But how is that different than your boyfriend? Your boyfriend isn't himself. He's creating a character.
Okay, so he's creating a character, but it's what he thinks is funny. And it's what he likes seeing on stage. And so in that way, it's almost like an art piece. It's almost like a performance of like, you know, a character. It's not, you know, just some dude going up and reading tweets, basically. And that stuff bothers
Is that why you're barely on Twitter?
me. Yeah. Well, that and I don't understand it, and it seems that nobody likes me on it, so
Maybe because all you do is make fun of people that are good on Twitter.
yeah, pretty much. Tommy McNamara, screw you. he once told me that I think we were out to lunch one day, and I was like, "Man, I just don't get Twitter." And he goes, "Baby, baby, Twitter is where the men are made." And I was like, "Get the fuck up!" Made me laugh really hard, but fuck him.
Oh, I love Tommy so much.
I love Tommy so much, and he's gonna be here this week.
Yeah, this is a blatant plug for Tommy McNamara's April 24th show at the Improv Olympic, former IO, or former Improv Olympic.
Former Improv Olympics, now IO, which I did the poster for.
Oh, you did the unplugged poster? It's so good. It's so
He was
good.
so excited. I was super excited when he asked me to do it. I love when people come at me with like ideas like that, because like for like my friends, it's like $100, and I'll give you whatever you want, and it'll be super funny, and you can have it forever.
Tommy and I are big Smashing Pumpkins fans, and I ranked every single Smashing Pumpkins song and wrote about it. So I wrote, I think, over 10,000 words about the Smashing Pumpkins the other week. And
Every single one?
well, not okay to be not live versions. Clearly, that's crazy. So just officially released songs. So it's something like 248 songs I ranked.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's my job. I have an important job that changes the world. One
Job is
pump.
amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So lucky.
So here's the thing that I really wanted to know about you in Chicago. Is your relationship with that place toxic?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely.
Do you care to remedy that in any way?
I mean, probably, but like, it's like, how do I mean, I could remedy it by moving, but like, you can't move away from your problems. Like, I will always find and become best friends with the liquor store guy down the street. And like, you know, like in every neighborhood, that's, I don't know my neighbors. I know the liquor store guy.
Do you consider yourself an alcoholic? And what liquor store do you go to?
I do consider myself an alcoholic, and I go to JJ Pepper's, and I also go to the Food Smart down the street because it's got pretty good like vegan bacon and stuff. Not that, I'm not, I swear to God, but it's like fun to walk in there and be like, "Oh, this stuff's fancy. I don't belong in here."
Are you vegan?
No, God no, Jesus.
You did go to the school of the Art Institute of
I
Chicago.
did, I did. I dabbled in high school, but you know, it's just not for me. I'd rather have every toxin.
I feel like that's the perfect line to end it. I'd rather have every toxin.
Yeah, that's why I live in like a lead-filled city.
You are a producer of Chuck, which is every single Tuesday at the Beat Kitchen.
That's correct. It's at doors are at 9. It's 9:30 and it's $5.
And you're a co-producer of The Monthly Show.
The Monthly Show Hoo Ha, and then The Monthly Show Beef.
Beef is the roastings.
Yeah, it's the name Beef. We have like games, so people play games. Like you have to do it in the accent of like your opponent's choice, which is, I mean, stupid, and it's just silly fun. It's a lot of inside baseball. We try not to be, but it
is. Hoo Ha.
And then there's Hoo Ha. Hoo Ha is at the White Room, which is a cool like secret loft. It's at 1907 North Mendel, and that's, I know exactly. It's right by. It's on the river.
Okay, and, like, cool.
Big lofts. Next time, when are you coming next?
In May. I'll be there in May.
Awesome. Okay, sweet. Okay.
And then Beef.
That at North Bar.
How is that place? I've been there for shows. I've enjoyed it.
There's just like this weird like group of people that think it's the greatest place. And I don't get it. It's another bar to me. Like, the acoustics aren't anything. The drinks aren't great.
This is why I relate and like you so much. You're shooting your own self in the foot as you plug your own show.
Eh. I didn't make the decision to move there.
All right, so people should not follow you on Twitter, but they should definitely go to your website.
Yeah, go to my website, MeredithKetchell.com. I got all the stuff you can see. And then I also, like, you know.
Wait, is that the tagline? I've got all the stuff you can see.
I've got there's so much shit on there that, like, do you want to hear my old band? It's on there. Do you want to go see an animation I made when I was 23? Go, it's right there. Do you want to see a poster I made last week? It's there.
That's good.
My legacy.
If you would like more information about Meredith, go to MeredithKetchell.com, MeredithKetchell.com. You can also just go to this show's page and click on the link there, and then you don't have to type anything in. You can see her tonight and most every Tuesday night at the Beat Kitchen for Chicago Underground Comedy and those other shows that we mentioned. My name is Brandon Weatherby. You could find me on Twitter at @YMTE. That stands for You, Me, Them, Everybody, the name of my other show. Follow us on Twitter, UbiEstMiaPod, because somebody else took UbiEstMia. I don't know why. And find us on Facebook. Just put in UbiEstMia in the little search tab. Our songs, both of them, are by Daniel Knox, and our art is by Dmitry Samarov. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful night. I'll haunt the places that you've been sleeping, friends and family, I'll be.